Time for our weekly discussion of the latest in state politics with the Dakota Political Junkies. Joining us on the line is David Montgomery, political reporter at the Sioux Falls Argus Leader. And David, thanks for joining us today.
Good to be here.
Also with us is Roger Whittle, managing editor of the Watertown Public Opinion. And Roger, it's nice to talk with you as well.
Thanks, Carl, and hello, David.
Well, David, we'll start with you because you're at a press conference, at least it was billed as a joint press conference between Republican gubernatorial candidate Laura Hubbell and independent candidate Mike Myers. And the last I heard, David, it was just Laura Hubbell that was there.
Yep, Mike Myers was a no-show. So far, Hubbell's been talking for about 20 minutes or so. The joint press conference has become a solo press conference. And there's no word from Myers. I will be trying to reach out to him later today to find out if he had some sort of emergency that came up or decided not to come. This wasn't a good idea.
Well, from with just Laura Hubbell there, what was it that was it still the primary focus, which I believe among the things I want to talk about was corruption in South Dakota? Was that the main topic, or were there other things that she discussed?
She talked about corruption and I guess more generally about economic development. She's a strong critic of the EB-5 visa program, which Dugard hasn't used extensively, which is, but hasn't abolished entirely in South Dakota. And also talked about a lot of the future fund and other economic grants, loans, incentives, et cetera, that the state gives and has given out for decades, saying that she would sharply curtail those. And right now she's talking about the Affordable Care Act and how she believes that Dugard has been insufficiently vigorous in opposing that controversial law in South Dakota.
Did she say anything about Mike Myers not being there?
Nope, not at all. There was some discussion in the early on in the press conference when she mentioned that she was waiting for Mike. One of the TV reporters asked her if someone would be sharing the podium with her, and she said yes, Mike Myers, but he's not here yet. But she just launched into it. She was apparently going to be talking first anyway, but obviously I think the press conference is supposed to be wrapping up by now, and there's still no sign of Mike.
Well, Roger Whittle, this press conference comes a couple of weeks after the two of the Senate candidates, Republican Stace Nelson and Democrat Rick Wyland, held an unlikely joint press conference. And even though this one didn't quite turn out the way was expected for whatever reason, I'm wondering if maybe we're seeing a trend with multi-party press conferences?
Well, at least they both showed up for the last one, both Wyland and Nelson. You know, I don't know if it's becoming a trend, but I think the reason you're seeing it now is because you have a lot of candidates who don't have a lot of money running against a candidate who does have a lot of money. And this is a way to hopefully get a little more, a few more people to notice what's going on.
Are there certain dangers, though, in these conferences? I'm wondering if there's a danger of losing support from people who don't like seeing their candidate with another candidate, Roger.
I don't think that would be a problem as long as you don't agree with everything your opponent says. I know I watched the Nelson and Wyland campaign, and I don't think anybody would mistake those two for friends or having the same political viewpoint. So I don't think it's a problem. It's kind of interesting that they're trying this, though. I'd never seen it before.
So this hasn't been something that you've seen in other states anyway, Roger?
I have not, no. This was a first.
How about for you, David? Does this seem like something fairly new, something unusual, unique?
I wouldn't call it shocking. What is surprising about it is this is happening before the primary election. Normally, it's a fairly it's not uncommon occurrence in states or during the general election, a candidate from one party to hold an event with members of the other party to show the whole electorate that they're not just beholden to one party, but they can appeal to everybody, and look, I've got supporters from across the aisle. And, you know, Rick Wyland doesn't have a primary, so neither does Mike Myers, so this sort of event makes sense for them. For Hubbell and Nelson, who are trying to appeal to Republican votes, the logic isn't quite as strong. Obviously, I mean, it helps them get attention, which their underdog campaigns desperately need. So there's that for them. But I think there is potential for a little bit of a backlash from Republican voters, or if Democratic voters were doing the same thing to a lesser degree. because a lot of raising questions for voters. Nelson's already being attacked by other campaigns for standing next to a Democrat. I don't think it's going to be a serious impact on the race, but there's some people who don't like that sort of thing, especially before the primary when people are appealing to just voters from their own party.
Well, David, that brings up something that you wrote about recently in your Political Smokeout blog. I think you were also responding to something that Pat Powers had on his South Dakota War College blog, dealing with the concept of rhinos. I guess it all began something. Pat Powers was quoting Representative Steve Hickey, who was criticizing Stace Nelson for working easily with
a chain of about six people responding to each other here.
Yeah. So go ahead.
But, I mean, ultimately what it comes down to is some people were upset that Nelson and other people on this sort of activist wing of the Republican Party seem to, in the perception, spend more time attacking the moderate wing of the Republican Party than they do attacking Democrats, which really ticks off and confuses some of the moderate Republicans. And I was sort of trying to grapple with why this is the case or appears to be the case. And one of the things that seems to me from years of observing this is that the thing that really kicks off the very conservative activist Republicans is not so much the sense that people in their party are liberal. It's the sense of a perceived dishonesty that Democrats are very liberal, but at least they have the courage to stand up and say that they're a Democrat, whereas Republicans in this perception are, in a sense, lying about their perception by claiming to be conservatives but not actually being conservatives. And that just drives some of these conservative activists up the wall. And so you see them spend a lot of their effort focusing on trying to purify the Republican Party rather than focusing on making the tent bigger and trying to attract moderate voters into the party.
Roger Whittle, this concept of rhinos, Republicans in name only, is this something fairly recent, or has this been around for a while?
Well, from my experience, it's been around for a while. Before I lived here, I lived in Nebraska, which is a state that is almost as Republican as South Dakota, probably. And when you get in primary elections, the whole thing is to be the most conservative Republican that you can. That's how you win the primary. And I think once we get into the general elections season, you'll see a little bit less of that, and people will be trying to appeal to a broader range of people than just the diehard Republican primary voters.
So we're dealing with that primary issue then, Roger, the whole rhino.
That's what I think, yes.
Well, how come there aren't any Dinos or Democrats in name only, do you think, Roger?
I'm not sure there are many Democrats in South Dakota anyway.
or beyond, I guess, in the bigger picture,
right.
Nationwide.
Oh,
you do hear that term sometimes.
You do.
It's much rarer than rhino, for whatever reason, to do with the internal mechanics of the Democratic Party. I mean, there is a left-center divide in the Democratic Party. You see it when you have presidential primaries. Someone will run as a centrist, and someone will run as a liberal or progressive. But for whatever reason, the whole drive for party purity isn't quite as strong there. But it's there, and I think we saw it in South Dakota last year in the question of who is going to run for U.S. Senate. There's sort of a backlash against Stephanie Hertha Stanlin, who is seen as being too moderate or even conservative, and not good. The sense that with a more pure progressive or liberal like Brendan Johnson, or as it ended up, Rick Wyland, that would be better than trying to nominate a moderate who maybe could have a better chance of winning in the short run by appealing to mock voters and Republican voters. But the sense was, well, why don't we nominate someone who's a pure Democrat and a pure liberal? And so you do have that tension in both parties. I think it's stronger in the Republican Party, but it's definitely there in both.
Well, speaking of Democrat Rick Wyland, he recently came out with a music video highlighting his campaign appearances across the state. It's based on the song "I've Been Everywhere," and let's just hear a little bit of this.
I'm going everywhere, man. I'm going everywhere. Our country needs repair, man. Gotta make it all more fair. because I care, man. I'm going everywhere. I'm going to Madison, Lebanon, Harrison, Corona, Jefferson, Arlington, Marion.
Well, Roger Whittle, what do you think of that video? Does an unorthodox approach work?
Well, first of all, I usually only pay attention to political advertising that's printed in a newspaper. But I actually had to go looking on the internet for this, and I found it on his website. It's cute. Again, I think you're dealing with a candidate who's trying to run a grassroots campaign and not spend a whole lot of money, and he's doing what he has to do. And even though that video is, I thought, very well done, I still prefer the Hank Snow version.
who's his audience here? Who's he hoping will see this video, Roger?
Good question. People who are already friends on his Facebook page, from what I see, that's the only place I could find it, was on his Facebook page. So, you know, if he wanted this thing to go viral, I don't think that's going to happen. You really can't create a video to go viral, you know, because it's kind of against the definition of what that means. So it sounds like he just did it for fun, and it's a cute thing. So I would just leave it at that.
David Montgomery, do you think that's just simply Rick Weiland having a little bit of fun?
Well, I think he's hoping to get some benefit out of it. It got him a little bit of national attention. It's an offbeat video. Rick Weiland clearly is a good singing voice, and this shows it off. It got about 5,000 to 6,000 views on YouTube last time I checked, which is respectable. But just by way of comparison, in 2012, a 5-minute TV ad by U.S. House candidate Jeff Barth in the Democratic primary got about 180,000 views. The sort of off the wall sensation. That one genuinely went viral. This Weiland ad, though it's gotten him a little bit of attention, hasn't gotten that far. I bet he was hoping it was going to be more successful. But it's a nice thing. It's certainly no drawback for Weiland.
Well, Roger, how effective do you think that the primary message there, one of the messages in that video, along with, you know, he's been to all these different towns in South Dakota, that message that Washington needs repair when it's the president, and when the president is a Democrat, and the Senate, at the moment anyway, is controlled by Democrats?
Well, Weiland has really done a good job of sticking on message throughout this entire campaign. Big money is ruining the country. And he's going to stop that. That needs to be stopped. I mean, everywhere he goes, he pounds that home, and he really hasn't wavered at all. And I think, I mean, I'm not sure there's anybody in the state who doesn't know now Rick Weiland's name, and he's a guy who's visited all 311 cities or towns in the state, which is huge, considering when he first went into the race, absolutely nobody knew who he was. So I think it's been good for him.
Another ad that has come out recently, a Republican Larry Roden has a 30-second ad. In this, he's unloading a bull from a trailer and uses the animal as a metaphor for President Obama's policy, particularly the Affordable Care Act. And let's listen to a little bit of this.
This is a load of bull, and so is Obamacare, and about everything else that's coming out of Washington. I'm Larry Roden. I'm a husband, father, rancher, conservative state senator, and candidate for the United States Senate. And if you'll trust me to represent you in Washington, I'll fight every day against the big spenders and liberals who want to destroy our way of life. Because while this bull might be useful in South Dakota, we've had about enough of Obama's bull around here. I'm Larry Roden, and I approve...
Well, David Montgomery, do you think that's an effective metaphor, or at least one that'll grab the attention of people that will see that?
It's a nice little ad. It livens up what's essentially, I mean, the audio to that ad is relatively straightforward. It's the candidate speaking to the odd viewer and criticizing President Obama and the Affordable Care Act and other things. The visual metaphor, I think, livens it up a bit, makes it a little bit more unusual on attention getting, and that's good. I'm not sure, however, if it's enough for someone like Larry Roden, who really desperately needs a viral smash in order to break out of the relative obscurity he's in as a second-tier candidate in the Senate race. He needs to close ground and quickly with Mike Rounds, given that voting has already begun. And I will say that Mike Myers has arrived, so I'm going to need to cut this off early, unfortunately. He's going into he's in the press conference right now, and I need to go take notes of what he's saying.
All right. Well, thanks so much, David. Appreciate you taking the time to talk with us.
I'll leave you in Roger's hands.
Okay. David Montgomery at the site of a press conference Republican gubernatorial candidate Laura Hubbell and independent candidate Mike Myers. And Mike Myers is now there, and we'll find out a little bit more about that. Well, Roger, we've got a few minutes left here, and maybe briefly we can talk about U.S. Representative Kristi Noem. She's currently in Asia as a member of a congressional delegation led by House Majority Leader Eric Cantor. President Obama also touring Asia right now. Noem is one of eight Republicans. There's also one Democrat with them. Do you think, Roger, that this trip is meant to compete or to complement the president's visit?
I'm not sure it was meant to do either one. When Congress isn't in session, congressmen go on these junkets. It's a way to keep your name in the paper, and I'm sure they are learning some things as they go. But I don't think it was necessarily had anything to do with the fact that Obama was there.
Do you think these sorts of trips will have, or this one in particular, will have much of an impact on Kristi Noem's reelection campaign?
I doubt it. You know, it's not going to hurt. Her name is out there as you know, hanging out with the House Majority Leader on this trip. So it gives the South Dakotans the impression that Kristi Noem is an important part of Congress now, and that certainly can't hurt. Whether it's a game changer, I would doubt it.